This is North Shore Today. Hello, everyone. With Rick Moore, I'm Bill Newell. And in today's program, we'll hear from Mike Powers, the head of the Gloucester High School Hall of Fame.
It's a great event for the city of Gloucester to recognize past athletes and a little bit of our tradition. And I remember being in here myself.
Our Hall of Fame induction ceremony was yesterday. And good morning, Rick. It's great to see you on this Monday morning. A little taste of fall in the air here today.
Yeah, hi, Bill. And what's interesting, I thought it began today, but it doesn't begin astronomically until Wednesday, which is a bit of a shock to me. I always thought it started around the 21st or the 22nd, but 23rd this year for some reason. But, fall is in the air, football, and is just full time now for us, of course. And being at the Hall of Fame induction ceremony yesterday was absolutely tremendous, meeting all so many of those Hall of Famers in Gloucester are former students of mine, so it was really cool, really great.
And they're all getting a little older too, huh, Rick?
Well, I'll tell you what, to see Jim Yunus with a streak of gray in his hair is absolutely mind-boggling to me. Yeah, they are. Most of those kids, the younger ones, are in their 30s now, which it's really strange because I see them as little kids in my classroom. I don't know if you've experienced that, but where you see these people as adults, but in your mind's eye, they're still in your classroom.
Yeah, I tell people where I go back to my hometown where, I left years and years ago, but I keep going back and back. But you walk the streets, and when you walk the streets, you're looking for somebody who might be 30 years old or 25 years old to see if you know them, but instead – if you knew them, they'd have to be much, much older than that. It's just kind of a wake-up call.
Bill, speaking of that, I missed the WESX reunion on Sunday, but I'm sure nobody has aged there, I wonder how that went. Was it a good turnout?
Yeah, it was a pretty good turnout. We got to thank, the WESX radio had a, they have a little kind of informal reunion every year. And it's kind of predicated on Betty Stavis, who used to be on the air years ago. In fact, when I was there at ESX, she was there way before me, apparently. And that goes back to the mid-70s then, or early 70s. And then she wasn't there for most of the years that I was working there full-time. But then when I went back to work part-time there, she was there. And she is 91 years old, almost 92 years old. And she, companion and her, she... came in from California. They're headed to her high school reunion this week out in Michigan. And that high school reunion, she graduated high school in 1940. So Betty Stavis doing fine. A little harder of hearing, so she's probably not going to listen to this. But she's doing extremely well. And also some of the other people there, Jay Asher, who owned the stations, both WESX and WJDA down in Quincy, was there. They've had these every year. I've gone most every year. There was one year where I did not go, but he was there, and that was great to see him. He's doing well. And Andy Carboni, of course, I mentioned. Len Wennerberg was there. Bob Gunther was there. And Tom McNulty, who is Mr. Marblehead. Tom did the morning show for a number of years over in Marblehead, and Tom was there. And he recently retired, I guess, a few years ago now from town clerk. He became town clerk of Marblehead a number of years later. And so he's doing well. And Malcolm Alter, there's a name who's still on the radio. Malcolm was at WESX years ago doing the afternoon news at the radio station. Of course, he's very active. And I guess comes in contact with Andy Carboni a lot during the day because Andy does traffic now as well as another job. So there they go. I think I'm trying to think if I'm Stu Eggenberg. I'm sorry. Stu Eggenberg, who was in sales and now works for, I think it's the Simon Malls out of Liberty Tree Mall and around the area. So he was there as well.
Al Needham? Everybody in this area, Cape Ann area, and actually the North Shore knows Al Needham. And I got to work with Al many, many summers, Bill, and a lot of Saturday mornings as well. was Al able to make it there?
No, he wasn't. No, and I know his health has not been good the last few years. And we spent a number of Saturday mornings with Al over the years over there.
Saturday mornings and Saturday afternoons, and one great memory brings a smile to my face, Bill, is Al. Sort of anchoring the transition of the football scoreboard show. Al, for many years, had to run it single-handedly. and he did an amazing job. But in order to get all the scores in the area, he had to call police stations all over the place. So while he was calling police stations, and remember, it's just a one-man job, he had to play martial music. He played band music, marching music on the air, football marching music while he was getting all of his scores. And then when you came along and made the transition and Jay Pauley was added to it, it just became such a fantastic show. And, you know, people still talk about that Saturday afternoon football scoreboard show. And just a great memory, Bill. And I know that leaving games, working with you, and even after that, when I worked with Don Boyle for a while, we'd flip on WESX on the way home and listen to the coaches and Jay Pauley and Al Needham and you and everybody talk about all the games all over the area. So a great memory, and we can't really duplicate that in this day and age with social media and the way the games are played all over the place now on Friday, Saturday, and in some cases other times as well. But great memory back in the, 80s and 90s and early 2000s?
Yeah. And I was, and it's funny, I was talking to Andy about that yesterday, and how I said, Andy, in this day and age, we'd probably be a lot easier to get scores than it was back then, with social media and so on. But the magic of that show, maybe magic's not the right word, but the appeal of that show was the fact that all the games back then were on Saturday afternoon, just about all of them. 90% of them. Now it's just the opposite. 90% are Friday nights. But they were all Saturday afternoon for the most part. They all started at about 1 o'clock or 1:30. That meant they all ended about 3:30, something like that. And so at that point, everyone was driving home from a game, and they could flip on their car radio. They put it on in the bus for the students as they're driving home, and they'd hear the scores. And that would be the first time they would really hear the scores. This was actually before cell phones. It was before tweeting by newspaper writers. It was before all of that, and so you look at that was the exclusive piece. That people could. I just lost myself here on my headphones. I got it now. That was the exclusiveness and the immediacy of what radio was at that moment, at that time. And you try to, and when you think about that, that's the draw that we might have at certain times with this website, is that we're offering things that no one else is offering at a certain time, and that's in itself exclusive. And so, and the newspapers do it in different ways, of course, themselves on a daily basis, things that you can't get anywhere else. So anyway, that was something that was really something back then, and I really enjoyed working with Jay Pauley and others who would come by and did that show and really built it into, a really informational source. We had a number of interviews and coaches and game details and so on. I could be wrong on this. I know you've talked to Mike Lynch a number of times on the North Shore Sports Night Show, and Mike's from Swampscott, played high school football in Swampscott, went on to play in Harvard. But on Thanksgiving Day on Channel 5, when he does his high school football roundup at, 7:30 at night, it's a tradition, he plays the marching music, and I think that must have been drilled into his head from Al Needham and WESX. Mike, I apologize for saying it that way, but I wasn't a big fan of the marching music piece. I'd rather hear interviews and stuff like that, but in its day, I think that's what it was all about. It was it's probably a nice memory or for him in his high school days.
I wouldn't be surprised at all, Bill. And lest we forget, I knew Mike Lynch through when you and I first started, through his refereeing high school basketball games. But lest we forget, he actually went to WESX to audition and apply for the job just before you got it. And I was giving him advice on taking the job, and then 2 weeks later, I see him on Channel 5. So it always cracks me up when I think that I tried to give Mike Lynch advice. But yeah, you're right, and that high school tradition that Mike has carried on, especially on Thanksgiving, is just the exclamation point on his High Five series. I think that's just amazing. But for us, It's something that you brought, that you enlarged on, and we continue to do that. And I just want to mention one thing. One other thing about that scoreboard show, I remember when I did it a couple of times, the scores would come in on the old ticker tape machine. Remember that thunderous machine in the back room there that the whole studio would shake? But the scores would come in from colleges on one little strip, and they would just have the league that the college was in and then a partial score. And they were all over the place. They were scattered. Like if there's 20 different leagues, or 30 different leagues, then you get these one-shot deals all day long. And somehow, I have no idea how he did it, but somehow Jay Pauley organized that so that you could listen to it, and you knew exactly what he was talking. He had the leagues aligned, and the other thing was how he knew the nicknames of every school, like Heidelberg, University of Heidelberg, the student princes. Now, how do you know that?
Well, and the other thing that he brought was you talk about those scores. So the wire machines that used to tap out the scores and type them out, really, you know, actually type them out with the bang 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 thing in the other room, and a long strip of paper that you'd rip off and rush in. Here's a breaking story, Jay. You know, but that teletype would print out those scores, like you said, like Bates, you know, Bowden, you know, things like that. But Jay would know the context of that game. Now, who knows? We have Endicott College in our neighborhood. They went out and played St. Lawrence this weekend. Now, who knows, you know, the leagues the two teams play in, and the context of the game, and what other score relates to those scores. But he would come in. He would have his sheets prepared. Yep. with the leagues and so on. And, you know, that, I think there was a little bit more in the newspapers at that time, too, with some of the small college leagues, the D3 leagues and so on, than there is today. But still, nonetheless, he actually made that very interesting for folks. And which to me is, you know, when you're in this business or in anything, you want to be learning stuff. And when you see somebody take information that you might have discarded or not presented and make it interesting and make it work for people, then, and, you know, and Jay was probably right on target. Well, he absolutely was right on target, because now we know all these kids from our area go on and play in these other schools, and they do get kind of forgotten, you know, from, you know, once they leave a little bit, you know. And I think there are people that kind of would like to hear those scores, because they don't, there's always somebody that might be at one of those teams, and that would be, and in its day, that was how you got that information. Now people will go on their smartphones or go online or whatever. They'll get their scores or whatever. But back then, that was a source of information.
Yeah, you're right. And that was a great service that he did, and he made it very enjoyable. He was so enthusiastic. Miss Jay tremendously. Bill, I want to mention a quick news article here, just a kind of a follow-up, if I may.
You may do that.
Thank you, sir. We talked last week about the Gloucester Initiative, the Angel Program that Gloucester Police Chief Lenny Campanello has been so instrumental in initiating and getting partnering firms across the country. Well, we mentioned last week that Chief Campanello put on Facebook, on the Gloucester Police Facebook page, the names and contact information and salaries of all the pharmaceutical firms' CEOs, and he implored people to politely ask them what they were doing or could do about the opioid crisis, because I guess 80% of all addiction, or at least a large majority, I shouldn't use the term 80%, but a large majority of addictions begin with prescription drugs. And so Chief Campanello was asking the public to get a hold of these people. Well, lo and behold, on Saturday morning, on the Gloucester Police Facebook page, Chief Campanello has a post there that says the CEO of Pfizer, which is, I believe, the biggest pharmaceutical concern in the country, the CEO has gotten back to the Gloucester Police Department and will be getting together with Chief Campanello. And I think that is just astounding. So I'm really hoping that I'll be able to follow up with an interview with the chief very soon.
Gotcha. And of course, there's a lot of, as we've been talking about on this program and posting on the website, there's quite a ripple effect from what's happened in Gloucester with the police chief and his drug awareness work that he is doing in the community, as impacting other communities, not just here on the North Shore, but around the country. So that story is probably only going to get bigger in the months ahead. So that's definitely very interesting. And looking around here, a couple of other stories in the item today in Lynn. There was a woman found dead on Revere Beach. Apparently she's a 49-year-old woman, but there's no identity of that woman. I think she was found on Saturday morning this past weekend. And you talk about the marching music, Rick, and the U.S. Navy Band was in Saugus this past weekend. They're out of Newport, Rhode Island, but they performed in Saugus this past weekend. Rick, what else?
Well, very quickly, and by the way, the Navy Band doesn't play just martial music. They play
tremendous.
They've got great singers. They play swing. They play modern music. They play some of the hip-hop stuff. They're amazing. I just want to mention...
They play the hip-hop stuff? Really?
They do. They do. They get, well, you know, whatever it's called, you know, the modern stuff that's on... I don't want to go there. They play everything, Bill. Let's leave it at that.
My wife and I were folks.
Yes, thank you very much. I went to my wife and I went to the Rockport fireworks a few weeks ago up in Rockport, and we got there early, and we went to one of the restaurants on Bearskin Neck, and we wanted to have a cocktail, and I wanted to have a Guinness, and my wife wanted to have a cocktail. So we go into the place, and they say, well, you know, fine, you can do that, but you have to buy something to eat. Well, we had just had supper, and, you know, it was like, don't think we want to do that. Well, the Rockport Selectmen will be meeting tomorrow to discuss that very situation. And I'm reading this now from the Gloucester Times. Dimitra Lavrakis wrote this article. When Selectmen meet on Tuesday night, the town's alcohol regulations will be on the table. A bill that would allow Rockport residents to restaurants, to serve people a drink without having them have to order an appetizer or food. That bill is at the State House. Now, if the legislature approves the bill, the ease regulation would still need to go to a town vote, whether at a special election or during the presidential primary in March. So again, town selectmen will be meeting to discuss this. Might seem a little premature. They'll be discussing this and other things tomorrow at 7 p.m., the conference room at the at Town Hall in Rockport.
Now, I had not heard of that law before. I know there's laws that say that restaurants have to serve food. I mean, that if you serve alcohol, you have to serve food as well, right? I mean, I think there's some kind of law like that. And I know some places, I remember this story, I don't know, from years ago. Somebody would consider a bag of chips food, but whether that was kind of circumventing it a little bit or not. But there was some kind of a rule along those lines I somehow remember back in the past. So, but I had not heard about that in Rockport.
Yeah, I guess because the town is dry, I guess that's the reason. But I don't know. I don't understand it either. But it is of interest to local folk, and the selectmen will be meeting tomorrow night to discuss that, I guess. So maybe I think they're probably expecting the legislature to ease up on it and allow cocktails or alcoholic beverages without having to buy food. And, they're going to discuss it. So there you go.
Well, for your sake, I just hope they pass that legislation as soon as possible and get that legislation passed so Rick, you and Martha can head up to Rockport and not have to burden yourself with buying something to eat.
Well, we have to get our passports renewed because...
to go to Rockport?
Yeah, it's a special place, Bill. It's a special place,
okay.
But it's a beautiful place. It really is. And, I do encourage people to go up there. I don't know how long the restaurants are open, if it's seasonal or not, but there are some fabulous, fabulous places in Rockport to visit.
It was a great, great weekend. It was, you know, it's funny. I'm not one to knock the weathermen. I'm really not. But I thought I was paying attention to the weather at the end of last week. I really thought I was, and I really thought this past weekend, was not going to be that great weather-wise. But it turned out to be spectacular where I was. The sun was shining. It was warm. It was pleasant. It was beautiful, and I kept somehow thinking that, Sunday's going to be cloudy, it's going to be overcast, it's going to be rotten, you know. But it just was not that way. And, you know, sometimes I have something to do inside. I'm saying, okay, great, the weather's bad, that'll force me to do what I need to do. But yet I was conflicted all weekend long because it was so nice all weekend. So whatever.
Yeah, I think you got to take advantage of it when it's here. And, you know, where's Altitude Lou when you need him?
Well, anyway, so I'm not complaining. I mean, again, the weathermen, to me, here's what's amazing, is that they can pinpoint, sometimes on Monday, almost to the hour, what's going to be happening on Saturday. Most of the time, they do a great job. The computers, the technology is amazing. But somehow or other, maybe I misheard things on Friday when I was watching the weather or listening or something or other, just thinking of high school football. That was in my head. That was all there was. All right, Rick, so we got Mike Powers coming up here, and we'll put the wraps on the show here in just a few moments as well. So from the Gloucester Hall of Fame, any thoughts on the Hall of Fame before we run that interview, Rick?
Yeah, I just want to mention that Mike Powers is a Hall of Famer, played high school football back in the 80s in Gloucester, a place kicker, set all kinds of records, went on to Colgate, did the same thing playing for Colgate. He is a dentist in the town. He is a prime mover, a big supporter of student athletes on Cape Ann. and he is at the moment the chairperson of the Gloucester Hall of Fame committee. I spoke with Mike before the Hall of Fame induction yesterday, so I hope this isn't too dated. I don't think it is, but it was a great ceremony, and I'll give you the names of all the people who were inducted after the interview.
Peoples, who are you, George Scott? What's going on here?
I don't know. I'm just. I guess it's. What do they call that? Reentry Monday.
Reentry Monday. All right, here he is. This is North Shore Today on MSONewsSports.com.
With MSO News Sports, I'm Rick Moore, and we're talking now with the chairman of the Gloucester Sports Hall of Fame Committee, Dr. Mike Powers, a former student of mine. Mike, looking back, Hall of Fame career yourself here, a great kicker, football player, and everything else. Bring back memories when you put something like this together?
Absolutely. It's a great event for the city of Gloucester to recognize past athletes and a little bit of our tradition, and I remember being in here myself.
What are some of your highlights? You go back, I'm thinking football in particular, and knowing you went on to a great collegiate career, but remember a particular moment or two in your career at Gloucester High?
It was the beginning of Terry Silver's tenure as the football coach at Gloucester, and we were his first winning team, and I think we had a 6-4, 7-3 record or something about there, so I just remember that I had been on some losing teams that had a lot of talent, and then Terry stepped in, and we turned things around.
The old team concept. Mike, Hall of Fame now, I don't know how many inductees there have been in Gloucester overall, excuse me, but I was just doing a quick calculation. You're going back to 1959 in the present selection, and if you take 200 graduates per year at Gloucester High School, that's 11,000 kids. So it's not a small potatoes to be put into this group, and I'm just wondering what the process was for you guys to get this thing back together.
Well, spoken like a true math teacher right there. The process to get it back together again really was just I had been on it for quite a number of years, and it had been laid dormant for a little bit, and people were interested in doing it. I knew we had a lot of quality. Kids that had come through and that were now eligible, so we spoke to a few people, we put it back together, and I think if you really take a hard look at who's going in there, everybody would be in agreement that we got some great athletes, and the process itself, people should understand, the nominations come from the community, so this is a community project, a community thing that we've done. We, as members of the committee, don't nominate anybody. We just take what the city gives us, and then we give them the thumbs up or the thumbs down.
Mm-hmm. In particular, we have to talk about John Pratt, the dad, former student of mine, and he's on the committee, two of his sons, rightfully being inducted this year. So I just want people to understand that. There's no nepotism here.
No, none whatsoever. John was, just so people know, that in that situation with the voting, John was not present for that. So if anybody wanted to speak about his sons, whether they belonged in the Hall of Fame, which in my opinion they do, they played on probably the best high school basketball team that Gloucester's ever had. And if you separate those boys and they've averaged over 20 points, you take one boy off either one of those teams and maybe they average 30, 35 individually. So they definitely belong here, and John didn't have anything to do with them getting there. So,
okay, finally, Mike, I know that this this thing is big in every community on the North Shore, this Sports Hall of Fame for the high schools. What happens next after today's induction? It had lain dormant for quite a while. I'm guessing that the committee probably would like to do this again another couple of years?
Probably another couple of years. Not as the law of diminishing returns states, you can only have so many each year in a certain amount of time. So in this particular case, we'll have one more meeting after this is done. We'll talk about it, and if people honestly feel like there are some people that weren't nominated and didn't get in, then we could do it that way. But I don't suspect that it will be done again 2 or 3 years down the road.
Okay, that's Mike Powers, Dr. Mike Powers, who is the president of the Gloucester High School Hall of Fame Sports Committee.
We're back on MSONewsSports.com, and Rick, who went into the Hall of Fame yesterday?
A very eclectic group, Bill, a great bunch of student-athletes, many of whom are my former students. Paul Lufkin, however, was not. He was a legend when I was a senior at Gloucester High School. Paul graduated in 59, went on to play hockey at Boston College, went into the Frozen Four, Division I hockey player from the area, and Mr. Lufkin was there, looking just great, still a very active businessman, living in Newburyport now. And others were John and Jay Pratt, twin backcourt for Gloucester basketball, Joe Orlando, former baseball coach, Bob Rowland, former athletic director and super athlete at this high school, Jill LaFlamme, softball pitcher for the Fishermen or Fisherwomen. Let's see, Lori Sanborn, playing basketball, also coach basketball at Gloucester. And Kayla Riley, who set the scoring records in field hockey for Gloucester. Let me see if I missed. Oh, yeah, Rusty Tucker, left-handed pitcher for the Fishermen, went on to play Major League Baseball, almost made it, but played professional baseball. Now he's working with Brian LaFada at Baseball Legends. Katie Taramina Mizoraka, who finished in the top 20 in the marathon, the Boston Marathon this year, a very elite runner. And, of course, Jim Yunus, whom I think everybody knows, playing football and setting all kinds of track records in the discus and the shot put at Gloucester High School, went on to play football at Boston College.
And in weekend football, just one note of a game that we did not do. I just thought I'd share this with the folks. Danvers defeated Linfield 22-15 under Coach Sean Terrio. They have started the year at 2-0. The headline in the item, I think it was a big Hail Mary pass or something or other at the end, giving Danvers the win. So congratulations to Danvers moving out to 2-0 to start the 2015 football season. And we'll keep folks posted on the football and stuff coming up this coming weekend in the days ahead.
And, Bill, Coach Terrio will be a guest on North Shore Sports Night on Monday night, tonight, on msonewsports.com.
Great. Terrific. Anyone else you want to plug on tonight's show or yet? You got a lot of things out, right?
I think it'll be the wrap up for Gary Larrabee for the golf season as well. We'll check with Gary, but Gary will be on tonight as well, and he's given us a lot of information. We've got other calls out there, but no confirmation at this point.
We talked about how there was a touch of fall. Remember my camping trip two summers ago to the Adirondacks in New York, Saranac Lake, New York, 30 degrees. I saw on the weather this morning, 30. It's always a little colder over there, and definitely 30 degrees over there on September 21. And when you started the program today, Rick, you're right, the spring or if the seasons change on the 21st of the month, maybe the 22nd, but what's going on with the 23rd? Something's gone wrong here. What's happening?
Well, I'll have to consult. I'll have to consult my star charts.
I'm all set with keeping summer a few more days. I'm good with that. But on the other hand, I just don't. I think it's like, what is Christmas going to be on the 27th this year? Thanksgiving on the 5th, Thursday of November? What's happening this year? All right. Maybe not. All right. Well, that's Rick Moore. I'm Bill Newell. Thanks for being with us on this Monday on North Shore Today on msonewsports.com.